Talk about the four mysteries. The first one that I spoke about this morning was the mystery of the God-man. The mystery of the God-man. And you can try and wrap your brain around this one, and you can be greatly educated, and still all of your education will not help you understand how it is that God came in the form of a human being and was wrapped up in flesh, and he was all God and all man, perfect God and perfect man. And that's a great mystery. Paul says it's a great mystery that you and I can understand that. Amen. Can you say amen? The second mystery that I want to talk about and that Paul writes about is the mystery of the new man. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, tonight we're going to get to know the mystery of the new man. And for all intents and purposes in the Bible, every male and female is regarded as a male. There is neither male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither black nor white. We are all one in the body of Christ, and we're regarded as a man. Amen? So you have a spirit man. Even though you might be a woman, you have a spirit man. And so we're going to talk about the mystery of the new man. Hallelujah. And so I want you to find your Bibles in Colossians 1 and verse 26. We're going to read there. And Paul writes, and he says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now," when? Now. Tomorrow morning. Now. 2020. Now. 2035. Now. When? Now. "But now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is," here it is, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Bump your neighbor and say, "We're going to get to know the mystery of the new man." Oh my goodness, can some of you maybe speak English or something? But look at somebody and tell them, "We're going to get to know the mystery of the new man." Hallelujah. So what is this mystery? It is the mystery of God's indwelling our human being. You can try and wrap your brain around that. I don't care how educated you are. All of your education will fail to actually bring into an understanding how it is that this awesome God, this big God, this great, big, all-powerful, all-knowing God who is everywhere all at the same time, who this morning I said in just the one palm of his hand carries the entire waters of the universe, with the one span of his hand he spans the heavens. This pulpit in my span would be 1, 2, 3, 4 and a bit. God in one span spans the heavens. I said God in one span spans the heavens. I don't know what the number is of how the scientists tell us that the galaxies in the universe is expanding at such an alarming rate. It's a huge number. It's a huge, huge, huge number. God sits and spans that like and is yawning at the same time. That's how big this God is. And this great big God resides on the inside of you. See if you can compute that. Put that in your pipe and see if you can smoke it. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is that it is a mystery, but Paul writes and said it is known to you and I. Hallelujah. This great secret that God comes to indwell you and me, and when we give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, God indwelling the believer's heart and the believer's life. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you tonight, family, is that God no longer lives detached from men and women. God no longer lives detached from you and me. He has come in to take upon himself our human nature in order to transform us and to make us like himself. That's the reason why he comes to live on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Isn't that an amazing thing? God not living far off somewhere, but living in you and in me. I like what Paul writes in Galatians 2 and 20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, "Christ lives in you." Look at somebody else and tell them, "Christ lives in me." When Paul was sharing this verse, he was speaking a literal fact. And if you are a believer, a child of God, born again, washed in the precious blood of Jesus, then I want you to know that Christ lives in you. The living God has come to dwell within you. I think that's absolutely incredible. You know, when you think about the church in Corinth, at one time in the church in Corinth, the people had this idea because, you know, Corinth was quite a sensual place and there's a lot of stuff going on. And so that began to infiltrate in the church. There was all kinds of sexual stuff happening and it was now coming in the church. And the people in the church had this idea, crazy idea, that said, well, you know what, I can sin in my body, but it won't touch my spirit. I can be saved in my spirit, but live any old how in my body. And then Paul writes and says, let me tell you, 1 Corinthians 3:16, he tells them, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then just like I'm kind of hearing Paul's thoughts, in case you forgot about it, let me just reiterate it in a couple of chapters after that, chapter 6 and verse 19. And he says again, oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is floating around out there somewhere in the by and by? If you look at the water, he's hovering over the water. Or he might be in the bird flying with the pigeons and stuff. No, what does it say? The Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Hallelujah. In other words, God comes to live within your body, in your entire being. Hallelujah. I like what Jesus says in John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now here it is. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. And we, the Father and me, will come to him and we will make our home, or our kaya, as we would say, with him. How do you think you would feel if you knew God was coming to spend 24 hours with you? If you knew he was literally coming to your home, that he was going to come and knock at the door and you were going to let him in and he would live in your home for 24 hours. This is what you have right here. This is the mystery. God living with you. In the Old Testament, you remember the priest, when they went to the altar, they would sacrifice, when they committed themselves and sanctified themselves, an offering was made and blood was used. And then the blood was sprinkled on the right ear lobe of the priest, the right thumb of the priest, and the right toe of the priest. And when the blood was touched these body parts, they knew, the priest knew that they were blood bought. And he knew that his ears didn't belong to him. They were given to God for God's service, to hear God's voice. They knew that my thumb that pertains to my hand, my work, that my work is not me. It belongs now to God and I work for God. They knew that my toe that's on my foot is now about my footpath, my direction. I can't just walk any which way. I'm now guided by God because I belong to him and I am blood bought. And it was a reminder that they were blood bought. And once a year, when was it? Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, not just any priest, would go beyond the veil and into the third compartment of the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And in the Holy of Holies, only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, not any priest, the high priest, there he would encounter the Shekinah presence. There he would be face to face with God, God living and dwelling with him, but just for a moment. And then they would have to go through the whole routine until the following year, again on that Day of Atonement, where he would go again beyond the veil and get to live with God and talk with God and dwell with God, but only for a moment. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Hallelujah. And God was saying, you know what, guys? You don't have to wait for a blue moon, a red moon, a whatever, a purple moon. You don't have to wait for a particular season. You don't have to wait for a particular 2020 leap year or whatever year it is. That because the veil is rent from top to bottom, you can come anytime into the presence of God and experience the Shekinah presence of God. But you and I, we were blood bought through the precious blood of Jesus. If you're a child of God, you need to know tonight, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver. There's no price that can qualify or can go to paying for your salvation. The Bible says, Peter the apostle says, in 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. He says, but with the precious, with what? With the precious blood of Jesus. I want you to look at somebody tonight and tell them, you were bought with priceless blood. In other words, what I'm telling you is, it costs the blood of God, God Himself, to redeem you and I back to Himself so that He could come and live, not with us, but in us. This is the mystery of the new man, the mystery of God's actual indwelling. Hallelujah. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is, because of this mystery and us coming to understand this mystery, we carry God everywhere we go. I said we carry God. Think of it. I mean, in the Old Testament, God was carried in a little box, and they, every time they moved tent, they would pick up the box and they would carry the box, and God was literally in the box. But He's no longer in the box. Hallelujah. I said He's no longer in the box. He's now living on the inside of you and I. You and I are the carriers of God. Hallelujah. We are the carriers of Christ. Look at somebody and tell them, you are a Christ carrier. Come on, look at somebody tonight. I don't care where you're coming from and what's happened. Look at somebody, point at them and say, you are a Christ carrier. In other words, we get to carry Jesus everywhere we go. We carry His glory. We carry His power. We carry His love. We carry His wisdom everywhere we go. And because you carry Christ, because you carry God on the inside of you, it don't matter what atmosphere you may encounter, you have the power to change the atmosphere. You have the power to confront the atmosphere. You have the power to challenge the atmosphere. You have the power to speak to the atmosphere and say, I don't like you, atmosphere. I don't like the spirit of depression. I don't like the spirit of poverty, because of who you carry on the inside of you. Look at three people and tap them on the shoulder and say, you're a Christ carrier. Hallelujah. That's the mystery of the new man. This new man that you have on the inside of you has a new nature, and you are able to carry that new nature into your marriage, into your families, into your business. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't have to worry about the darkness, because you're the light, because Christ is in you. You don't have to worry about witchcraft and whatever is happening. You're the power of God, because you have Christ on the inside of you. Bump your neighbor and tell them, I'm looking at a Christ carrier. This is the evidence of Christ indwelling you. The mystery of the new man. What is it? A transformed life. Hallelujah. I'll never forget, there was a story long time ago when they came to this Chinese man. He was a Chinese scholar. And so after having read the Quran, and after having read the Bhagavad Gita, whatever it's called, I always get it wrong. After having read those two holy books, they then put into his hand a New Testament, a copy of the New Testament, and they said, Mr. Chinese man, go as a scholar and read the New Testament and come back and tell us what you discover. And they thought that when he came back, he would talk about maybe perhaps the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin woman. Oh, this was something phenomenal. This captivated me. This just amazed me. But it wasn't that. They thought, well, maybe he would talk about how it was that Jesus was moved with compassion, and he healed, and the sick were healed, and those infirmed were healed, and those with all kinds of infirmities and diseases were healed. But no, that didn't move the Chinese man. They thought, well, maybe it is because of the way that he just, you know, was open and welcomed those that were ostracized and those that were rejected by society. Maybe it's because of that. No, it wasn't that. They said, well, Mr. Chinese man, can you tell us what you found? Did you find anything? Yes, he said, I did find something. Well, can you tell us the story? He said, well, I began to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes. He said, and then I got into the book of Acts. Yes, yes. He said, and then after the book of Acts, I began to read the book of Romans. He said, very impressive, but began to continue to read. Yes. And then he said, I got to 1 Corinthians, and then I had to read 2 Corinthians, because you can't read 1 Corinthians without reading 2 Corinthians. Yes, okay. He said, and then I found myself in the book of Galatians. Oh, wonderful. And what was it about Galatians? Well, the fact that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, that's great. He said, but when I got to the book of Ephesians, he said, I read the first chapter, and then I began to read the second chapter. And the second chapter in verse 1, it says, and he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, he says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince. He said, and I began to identify with the sinner that I was. I began to recognize the measly me, the sinner me that I was. He said, and by the time I got to the end of chapter 2, it says there, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. He said, that is the most amazing thing that I have ever read. Of every miracle, of every work that any holy man ever did, how it is that this God comes to reside on the inside of a human being. God indwelling man. Hallelujah. You see, I want to tell you tonight that Christianity is the only religion in the world where a man's God comes and lives on the inside of him. It is the only religion that I know of where a man's God comes to live on the inside of him. The most awesome thing about it is that we have God who indwells us. And no religion, no other religion can boast of this fact. He doesn't dwell in buildings. He doesn't dwell in the cloud. He doesn't dwell in the trees. He doesn't dwell in nature. He doesn't dwell in rivers and waterfalls. But he chose to dwell on the inside of you and me. Can you say amen? And so Paul writes in Colossians 1 and 27, just to reiterate, and he says, the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. In the New Living Translation, and this is the secret, Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. The Message Bible says, the mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. In other words, he's not just amongst us, but he is actually in us tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Nobody moving for the next couple of moments.